Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Leslie Braxick is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Leslie's been with us before. She is a member of our Brain Trust, and she is an executive coach, a strategy executive consultant, and a behavioral expert. So you better be on your best behavior this half hour. She's the author of Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profits, Developing Leadership Behavior That Drives Profitability in Your Organization. Leslie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Before we get into the topic that we're going to talk about, I wanted to point out to you that something I mentioned earlier in the hour. You know, every day, not every day, but many days, I talk about little interesting things that this date commemorates. You know, some kind of a celebration or a recognition of certain things. Well, today, Leslie, is National She's Just Funny That Way Day. And this is where individuals pay tribute to the humorous nature of women by listing ways that women make us laugh. What do you think about that?
She's just
funny that way. So I've long said that the way men get along with women is they learn how to say, "I'm sorry, it's my fault, yes, ma'am," and I think you should go ahead and get that, sweetie.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'll take it.
You take it. But and then if you get really exasperated with your wife or with some woman you're working with or something, just take a deep breath and say, "Well, she's just funny that way." What do you think? Does that work?
You know, I've never tried it, and I can't say it's been tried on me. But I trust expertise other than my own. So.
But could that maybe this could be something women could use with each other? Huh?
Maybe.
One of the things I was talking, Leslie, with the previous guest, Peter Sheehan, about the Gen Xers and Gen Y folks, the Generation X and Generation Y, the Millennials,
yep.
The Millennials, I guess it is, they call them. I've done quite a few shows on these generations, and we've talked with various experts. Some of them were, you know, long of the tooth like me. Some of them were a lot younger, like the gentleman that we just had on is about 28 years old. He actually is of those generations. And one of the things that Peter and I were just talking about is the impact of the younger generations on the products we sell, on the marketplace, that kind of thing, as well as on their impact as employees.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'd like to talk to you about, since you're a leadership expert, is what is the leadership skills? What are the leadership skills? What are the leadership accomplishments? What are they, and what will they be, do you think, of these generations? I'm a little concerned about it myself.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I think the future capability of that generation's leadership is actually dependent upon how well we lead them when they enter our workforce. I think that's the risky proposition more than can they be good leaders or not. I have tremendous, tremendous not only faith, but enthusiasm about that generation leading us, but I don't know that we are certain how to be good mentors and leaders to them.
I think you're right about that.
And if we go back in time, interestingly enough, what we've learned is that, you know, when you ask successful leaders and executives what they attribute their success to, there's two things that they typically point to. One is that they were given stretch assignments. They were asked to do something that perhaps was challenging to them or beyond their capability. And secondly, that they had a good mentor or a good source of feedback,
yeah,
as they made that stretch. So we know that leading and feedback and mentoring are really key to leaders' success. So I think the real challenge with this generation is does not lie with their capability, but rather lies with our ability to mentor and lead them well, because they're different than prior generations that most people have led before.
How are they different? Give us your thoughts on how they're different.
Well, we know there's, you know, characteristics of this group. We know they're very racially and ethnically diverse. They're extremely an independent group. They've been raised with a lot of divorce, daycare, single parents, latchkey parenting. They feel very empowered. They're very optimistic about the future. They have a sense of security, given how they've been raised. But they're also very blunt. They're very expressive. Self-expression is valued over self-control.
Hold on to that thought, Leslie. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Leslie Brexick and I will be right back after these messages. And we got a lot more to talk about this younger generation. How do you and I help them become leaders so we can benefit from this while we're still in the marketplace? Tony Taylor, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Leslie Brexick. She's the author of Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profits. Dr. Leslie Wilk Brexick. And Leslie, we were talking about, you were just giving us a little bit of a tour about you're very hopeful. You're very, actually, you almost sound excited about the possibility of for leadership for the younger generations. The one of the things that you named off a bunch of their attributes in terms of the way they are, the way they behave, their characteristics. One of the things that you didn't mention that I know you probably would have if I'd given you a little more time, is they're very collaborative, aren't they?
They are.
And let me just state this one point, and then I'll get you that. They're very collaborative, which, in my opinion, will have an impact on their leadership style. Now, that's not to say that it's good or bad. I just think there'll be a different, these generations, because they're so collaborative, they will be different kinds of leaders than any other generation before them. What do you think about that?
I think they are extremely collaborative, but I think we must also look at some of the other strengths that I think more clearly define them. They're extremely well-educated. They're the most well-educated generation in our nation's history. They're very technologically savvy. They're very learning-oriented. They're very efficient multitaskers. I mean, what we see with this generation, they're concerned with getting the job done well, not with taking direction on how to get the job done. They want to know clearly what the goal is. They don't want to be told how to get there.
They don't want to be micromanaged.
That's right. So they're often described as being sort of high maintenance, but I think they're also going to be the most high-performing workforce we've seen in a long time if we allow them to get there and not dictate too heavily, the how. They want to know, they walk in with more information in their heads and at their fingertips than any of us have in prior generations, and I think we need to respect that and enable that to work on behalf of companies and on behalf of our country and our governments and our nonprofits.
I heard you use that respect thing. We need to respect them, but isn't there some of that needs to be coming this way too?
Oh, there's no doubt, but I think...
And are we seeing any of that?
Well, I think this is where I think it comes down to how well we can lead and manage them. They are far more direct, they're far more blunt than what we're used to. So they take a lot of criticism for that as being overly so, but they're not intending to be, sarcastic or disrespectful. They're just very direct and honest. So they'll say things that leaders don't often want to hear, but it's generally true. It is my observation and experience about them. So I think the most important thing is how well we mentor them to round out their strengths. There's a lot of talk in the leadership about building on people's weaknesses. I'm a firm believer that you take the strengths and you grow them and focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to round out these people. We need to round out their leadership so that they have more political savvy,
One thing about that, though, Leslie, is these young people are riding a wave of change.
Mm-hmm.
My generation, the people my age who are running businesses, managing organizations, you know, we're used to change, but we're not on the same wave as these young people are. We may be a little bit behind the curve on the change thing, but we've got a lot of information that they can benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than rolling in with all this change and, you know, and I'm going to come back to the respect thing, you know, you keep saying that you know, we need to do this for them, we need to do that for them. You know, it wouldn't hurt this younger generation to listen a little bit, maybe listen a little bit more. Maybe it'll be a little less blunt certain times to learn when to be blunt with your boss and when to listen to wisdom. What do you think?
I agree with that. There's no doubt that, but I think...
But are we seeing much of that right now?
Well, here's the thing, Jim. I'd say what you just described is what we need today. Forget
right.
the new generation. We need leaders that listen. We need leaders that are teaching, coaching, mentoring. You know, that's no different with this generation than it is with what we need today. The only difference, truly, the only difference with this generation and the current is that they'll leave if they don't get it.
Yeah, you're right about that. That is one of the big differences. They won't hang around if they're
right.
not happy.
That's the bottom line. But all the other things that they will demand of leaders are very consistent with what people want today but maybe don't get. But I agree. I think part of what we need to teach them, there, you know, are things like better listening skills. You know, but here's the interesting thing. The research that's been done has found that older leaders who are mentoring these younger kids speak positively about that experience. They say that it's a can-do generation, but they're people who are taking the time to teach and coach them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to become increasingly more important as we bring these leaders up. Perhaps they don't have some of the coming-in skills on that side, you know, that others have, but I think their strengths far outweigh the weaknesses. And we need to just be good coaches and mentors to them and expect that they will adjust some of those, you know, harsher behaviors if needed.
When I have spoken to younger groups, and I get the occasion to do that from time to time to college-age kids, even high school-age kids sometimes,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of scary, by the way, but especially the college kids and the young professionals, you know, I tell them that, you know, we need you. You're not optional for us folks who are ahead of you in the marketplace. We need you. We want you. We want you to be successful. But there are two things, and I may have said this, I said it earlier in the hour somewhere, I said there are two things that we'd like to have a little more of from you, just a little more gratitude and a little more respect. And you know what? Whenever I've said that to them, nobody's gotten up and left. Nobody's thrown any tomatoes at me. They've
mm-hmm.
looked at me thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took that as a good sign. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Dr. Leslie Brexick. Her book is called Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profits. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. It's a pleasure, as always. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find our show, all the different things we do here, all the different ways you can listen to our show online. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can check out our blog. You can check out our Brain Trust members like our good friend Dr. Leslie Wilk Brexick. She's the author of Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profits, now in its second edition, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means. That means it's not chopped liver. It means it's really good. And, of course, you know we don't have any chopped liver here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. Leslie, we're talking about the younger generations. Now, let's say that you're a small business owner and you're kind of in the middle of the Gen X, of the boomer generation. You're, say, around 50 or so, and I know that's a lot older than you are, never mind. And let's say that you're that age, you came up in that generation, you're running a business, you got 20, 30 employees, and you're employing more and more of the young people, the younger generation, 20s and late 20s, that kind of thing. And so what does that person need to know to be successful with this generation?
I think they need to know what it really is going to take to motivate and retain this and capture the best of this group.
We got to attract them first, don't we?
Of course.
Yeah. How do we attract them?
Well, they're going to be most interested in a place where they can make a difference, where they can really contribute, and where they're going to have the chance to do that. We see this group repeatedly turning away from more menial kinds of jobs and tasks unless they're clear how that adds up to the larger whole. So if you want to recruit them, help them know how being a customer service rep in your business is going to make a difference and contribute to the bottom line, and help them know what happens if they do well in that customer service job or whatever that entry-level position is.
When I was a pup being interviewed, they talked to me about what my job was going to be, how much money I was going to make, what the potential was, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody ever talked to me about corporate values. If you're interviewing a young person today, you better be talking about corporate values somewhere in that interview, shouldn't you?
I think, absolutely talk about the corporate values, but I think also talk about the larger picture. I think we often just, you know, think of entry-level positions as sort of the be happy you have a job and just do this.
Yep.
That won't work with this group. That will
mm-hmm.
not work. They're going to want to know, you know, what kind of potential they have, what success looks like, how their work's going to contribute to the bottom line. They're going to want to know that they can, you know, make a difference here. That's very important to this group, even in an entry-level position. And that's why they're considered often given shorthands of being high maintenance.
But they don't only want to know how it's going to contribute to the company's bottom line. Don't they also want to know how the organization they're working for fits into the grand fabric of society, how this organization contributes to the overall well-being of human beings? I know that's a little, I just think that they find those things important.
Well, we know the top five reasons why people leave companies, that's in the top five, that there's a values clash with themselves and the organization, or that they're mm-hmm. somehow they feel the organization's values are not a good match for theirs.
And it might just be the owner's ethics that derails them too.
Yeah, I mean, they won't stick around, I think, if that's an issue. But the positive side is I think that they will work harder than most entry-level people if they're clear what it is that they're being asked to do versus, you know, the bottom line versus being told just do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing we can't miss with this. It's going to take more upfront work with those people to help them be successful, but I believe they'll far outdistance what we've known as entry-level people in those positions.
You think they're tough, don't you?
I do. I think they're very capable. I think they're very resilient. I think they're going to put more burden on us as leaders upfront and through the process. They're going to require us to be better leaders than we've ever had to be.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for everyone, because I think the things they're asking for are things that all generations will benefit from.
Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profits is Leslie's book, second edition. Dr. Leslie Wilk Braxick is the name on the book. Leslie, give us your website and tell us where the book's available, please.
www.clg.com.
And tell us quickly about what your organization does.
We are a management consulting firm and work with companies to help them execute their most challenging and important strategies.
Including working with these young guys.
Including working with these young guys.
These people, yeah. Hey, Leslie, good job today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
I enjoyed having you. We'll do it again real soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Leslie Braxick, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Leslie Braxick. She'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.